Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we're here to give our assessments of the camp on 7/28. That was Monday, the first padded practice for the Ravens day in a hot, blistering sun out at the castle. A first padded practice, for people who don't maybe follow football, or don't go to practice regularly, I can only say it's a very big, highly anticipated event. You're playing real football in a lot of ways. I still have protocols they follow, and John Harbaugh went into that some at the podium today in terms of how they keep each other safe in terms of contact, but some hard hitting, and there's some things go on. We had that one of those occur today. Let's talk absentees first, though. Emory Jones still on the NFI list. I haven't seen him around in the 5 days of camp. He hasn't been around on the field shadowing the offensive line as he had previously. Maybe that'll happen again, but right now he's on the NFI list. Ardarius Washington's on PUP. There's still some lingering hope that he'd be back in November. I think there are other very reasonable voices saying he likely will not return in 2025, but they've left the option open. They've left the door open a little bit for Ardarius to be back. Keith Kirkwood had missed a couple of days, the wide receiver. He was there in doing drills on the side only. I did not see him on special teams. I did not see him on offense. So I think he was just kind of working his way back into a healthy status, but good to see him in uniform anyway again. Bilal Kone, who went down during positional drills, did not return. Now, they did not have an update on him. Kone went down during positional drills on Saturday. And Harbaugh said today that he was going to have to get an MRI, but he said he didn't have any information further than that. So I would think they would have something by now, but for whatever reason, he has not had that MRI yet, or they're not ready to disclose the results yet. So that's where we are with Kone. Rashad Bateman left practice sick, which is a shame. A couple of things are going on. Obviously, having a padded practice is good, but also there were some people around doing some introduction of the Lamar Jackson 99 Madden reading, and Bateman might have been a part of that. And he was also scheduled to be at the podium along with Zay Flowers and wide receivers coach Greg Lewis. So pretty stacked wide receiver group at the podium, which would have been interesting to hear. But unfortunately, he had to be sent home sick, and John said he didn't want to get others that way. You always appreciate it at work when people don't come in when they're actually sick. And that was obviously what had happened here. Jair Alexander also missed practice today. An unspecified swelling, never good. Specified swelling, who knows, but unspecified swelling, not good. And that's what John said was the reason he was out of practice yesterday. Jake Hummel returned to practice after missing time with a cut on his hand. So it was a non-football injury that I don't believe put him on the non-football injury list. But he's back and practicing today. So if he was on the list, he'd be off now anyway. Looked like he was in on both defense and on special teams. Just a few snaps on defense kind of towards the end of practice, but did I notice him on? And it might have been some 7-on-7 and not 11-on-11 now that I think about it. So good to see him anyway on the field again. He'll be an important fourth linebacker and special teams leader for the Ravens this year. Now, I am not a guy who typically will do that little video that you'll see some of the other people do right before they enter practice and right before they leave. But today I was all excited about the first padded practice, and I created a little video about 2 minutes long talking about whether or not the Ravens might make some concessions to the fact that this was a padded practice today and kind of lighten up on some of the cadence difficulty that they've been continually trying to work through. So one of the things is that, and Todd Monken addressed this at the podium on Saturday, was that the Ravens had a lot of false starts, and part of it is because they are continuing to vary the cadence, and that's forcing players to think about more as they get to the line of scrimmage, and they're just having difficulty getting it all done properly. Out of the huddle quickly, get set quickly, get off the ball quickly, get off on time, get your motion done properly. All that, get the snap exchange down right. All that's got to be done right. And various players have different responsibilities in each of those cases, obviously. Everybody has to get the line of scrimmage. Everybody has to hold their water in terms of the false starts where they've had a lot of problems. By the way, 3 more false starts today. And I thought that they might let up on those drills, you know, the set and snap drills they've been doing at the beginning of practice for each of the first 4 days. They continued with them. They ran that drill again for the 5th straight day. Asked Harbaugh about it when he's at the podium. He said they need to continue work on cadence and not concede to padded practices. It becomes too easy to, and I'm paraphrasing slightly, but to make excuses, to not do it, to go on one, run your offense, get your plays run, but then you never work on it. And you never get to a point where you're comfortable with cadence, and it's not how the real football is played during the season. And it could even force you to compromise during the season on cadence, where you really would not want to do that and give your opponents a big break, in particular pass rushers getting off early because they know to move on first sound, for example. What else we have? So some of the things going on in the snap drills. The very first play, the offense was sent right back to the huddle. And it's never a good thing. It often means somebody's out of position or whatever. But for whatever reason, they got sent right back to the huddle. And you could already tell the pressure had risen from, you know, probably 105 degree heat on that turf up to about 115 inside Monken's skull as he's watching this. I'm only seeing from behind, but he gesticulates a lot as that's going on. You could see him getting upset. And then there was a play early on, and I think it was Zay Flowers. If I have this wrong, I apologize, Zay. But I thought it was Zay Flowers who was kind of fidgety and getting set at the line of scrimmage. And Monken just kind of threw his arms up in the air. They didn't throw a flag on that play, but Monken was actually obviously not happy with the way the set and snap drills were done today. And then they put the icing on the cake with 3 more false starts during practice. One of them might have been a motion play, which is a post-snap foul, but it's declinable. And it came at the worst time, of course, when there was a touchdown on the play and it would have been called back. If it was motion or not happen at all, if it were a false start. So either way, you know, you don't want those kind of penalties kind of penalties at all, but you really don't want those kind of penalties when they give the defense an option. So more to come on these set and snap drills. All right, now we got a report on the kickers because it was a big day for kickers and a big change, frankly, because Tyler Loop had been very dominant so far, had made every one of his kicks so far. He missed 3 today. So he took 8 kicks total, made 5, doinked the left upright from 43, good from 44, good from 33, good from 33, no good from 38, that one was wide left, no good from 45 wide left, good from 47, and good from 41. So he's now missed 3 kicks in camp. I think he might be 28 out of 31, maybe. I think I've seen Jonah Schaefer reporting on this, and if you want to, you know, find someone who's really keeping track of it time after time like that, Jonas is a good one. I had a difference of 1 kick in a previous day. I've had differences in false starts. I will just say people who are there, even on things as obvious as kicks, can come up with different numbers, different distances that are recorded. So Jonas is, I would say, a very good source. Now going over to John Hoyland, he made all 4 of his kicks, and he really needed a day like this. He was starting to lag behind. But he was good from 33, 38, 45, and 48. So increasing distances with each time. A couple of those came in bonsai drills. They had some regular field goal drills. But those were all the kicks he attempted. I think it's still kind of interesting. He had a half as many kicks attempted as Loop did on the day. It looked like early on they were getting into a competition where they're doing every other kick. And when that happens, if the kicks are good, they can move back and they go for some really long kicks. But then Loop missed a couple from 38 and then from 45. So they didn't extend it into a big competition. And it ended up with Hoyland making the longest kick in that segment. So, you know, this will continue on. And we'll see how this ends up. But I think despite the fact Tyler Loop made only 5 of 8 today, I don't think what Hoyland did in terms of the length of his kicks was so good that he will displace Loop or has greatly increased the chance of displacing Loop, which I might have put at about 5% entering today. But there is a good chance that Hoyland will be kicking somewhere else in the NFL, and he's certainly putting good results out in the media where they're being reported and other teams are looking at their kicker who's, you know, probably 13 of 19 and saying, hey, how about that Jahn Hoyland guy? They're going to release him at some point. Let's be prepared on the waiver wire for him. So good chance. And also the Ravens have worked their magic before and traded a kicker before the end of camp. If you think back to Kari Vedvik. All right. Two more injuries today that I have to report. This probably should have come earlier in this discussion, but I kind of whiffed on that. Jalen Armour-Davis went down in team drills and did not return. I didn't hear anyone who had a concrete notion of what happened, but he did have to be helped back into the facility, I am told. I'm not going to speculate on what the nature of the injury might be, but it seemed more serious to me. And it is always more serious when the player doesn't return for practice after going down. So hopefully there's good news to come. There probably is an MRI coming, and we'll see how that works out. Or there might be an MRI coming, let me put it that way. Later in practice, Marlon Humphrey left. Now, I talked to some of the other reporters about that. They said he appeared to have an issue with blisters. And this was Jeff Z supposing, but he noticed that he took off his shoes and then his socks. That it could just be something as simple as blisters, which obviously that would be a very big deal. Very bad news that the Ravens, you know, have Awuzie missing snaps, and he didn't play that many again today. We had Jair Alexander who missed practice. We had Kone who went down on Saturday. Today we have JAD go down. I mean, the cornerback depth has taken a big hit in the last two practices. So hopefully there's some recovery involved there, and the Ravens haven't done too much. But I, one of the other things that's gone on, and I want to hit on before we move on too far, is one guy has been moved to safety from basically a slot corner role, and that's Reuben Lowry, number 30. He had a pick last week, made a great play cutting in front of the ball, and you know they think those skills are portable. He's a guy who's 5'9", 204, so he's kind of like a much bigger, thicker version, we'll call him, of Ardarius Washington. Hopefully has some of that Ardarius Washington speed. I haven't looked up his 40 time or anything yet, but seems to have pretty good instincts. And he seems to make more sense for the back end to me than two guys who've been mentioned in that role, TJ Tampa or JAD. And I think the fact that JAD is injured now is also going to force TJ Tampa in a more prominent cornerback role if he misses any time. Same thing with Alexander. We'll see Tampa more on the field. And I think that the notion that either of those guys would move to safety is probably now gone. And JAD, assuming he's not hurt here, his chance to make the team is probably up with some of the other attrition that's gone on at that cornerback spot. Another guy who's been, probably is in a better position due to attrition is Longerbeam. Longerbeam hadn't been playing too darn much, but he looks good now. Lowry's out of a slot role, so Longerbeam might be a guy who has a better chance to make the team now if you're trying to handicap it. Now, a few different guys had some starring roles where they made a couple of plays, and I'm going to try and hit on them. I'm going to the Oriole game tonight, so I'm not going to be able to give you all of the highlights, and to the degree I do, I'll just be going through sequentially and doing the best I can. I will say that Lamar Jackson had some good plays, particularly running the ball. A nice big draw up the middle for a big game. On another play that we saw him take another pass the ball to Wade, where Simpson made a quick tackle. I would say Simpson was one of the guys who had a lot of trouble keeping up in coverage today, particularly on the tight ends. And I'll have a couple highlights that get at that. Saw Tavius Robinson make a nice play to bottle up Justice Hill near the line of scrimmage. Tough play for Tyler Linderbaum, who got bowled by, I think it was a blitz from off ball and not a blitz from the line of scrimmage. But honestly, I didn't see it, so it could have been either. It could have been an A-gap blitz. Could have been something from off ball by Roquan Smith. And he got bowled right back into the cone, which was certainly invaded. Now, Lamar did get that ball off for a 10-yard gain to Charlie Kohler, but it wasn't a good play for Linderbaum. One guy who looked really good today was I always get them confused, but both Martins looked good today. First of all, let's talk Chandler Martin. Chandler Martin, very physical-looking linebacker. He's the UDFA from Memphis. He stopped Keaton Mitchell on a run middle for no gain, it appeared. On another play, he knocked down Keaton Mitchell after contacting him after a catch. Now, first of all, good to get a quick tackle, period, on Keaton Mitchell. Keaton Mitchell has been one elusive dude in this camp so far. And honestly, had another great day today of moving around, making space, having people chasing him all through level 2 and 3 today. He's very impressive again. But Martin got to him and knocked him down one time. I want to talk about 38 is the other one, and that is Keon Martin, the corner. And I guess he was in slot on these plays, so I hope I'm not giving away too much on that. But blitzed the quarterback on a couple of consecutive plays. The first one, he ran right by Malik Cunningham, actually really ran right through the block of Malik Cunningham for pressure, which is really impressive for him and not too impressive for Cunningham. The next time he was unblocked, got in, got pressure, and the ball was not blown dead, but it could have been for a sack on that play. So to see him get a pair of pressures like that's good. And if you're looking at Keon Martin, he is a guy who could be there for some slot backup responsibilities when the season starts. Now he's a guy who's got to excel in multiple phases. He's got to do what he can to play good slot corner. He's got to play good special teams. And he's got to make himself be noticed by those coaches. So when they have that shortage at slot corner that they may have, that they'll choose a player like him who doesn't have the obvious pedigree. And Keon Martin, if you're wondering, I just want to make sure he's not a first-year player here. Keon Martin is a rookie out of Louisiana Lafayette, and he's 24 years old, a UDFA 25. So he's already an older player. He's probably a guy, and I don't want to, I almost shouldn't say this just because of what it is, but at 24, this may be his only shot. So he might not have another camp left after this year, but made two nice plays today. We really need to mention that. We also saw Chandler Martin shut down a run by Cooper Rush. There's a few quarterback draws today. That was one of those that was nice. We had 56. Now let me make sure I have this. I've got my book coded up here, and I'm trying to do the show without translating here. But that's Cayman Rucker. Looked like he might have knocked down a pass from Cooper Rush, which fluttered off target. He did so by getting some pressure versus Carson Vinson. So that was positive. Vinson earlier in the practice was involved in the first fight of the year. He seemed to maintain his block a little longer than Adafe Owe was comfortable with, and they got in a little bit of a fight, were quickly separated. Harbaugh addressed it at the podium and just said that, you know, these guys are professionals. He doesn't really have to step in. And in particular, that one, the players separated themselves very quickly. There was a pileup, a little bit of a pileup occurred there, but they separated themselves very quickly. And I would estimate they lost, you know, less than one rep's worth of time getting those guys separated and moved off to the side of the field. Let's see, what do we got? Also, Cooper Rush had a 0+10 pass to Keaton Mitchell. Mitchell was just all over the field, bursting into level 2 on runs, taking the ball. I don't know how Keaton Mitchell does not have a very significant role for this Ravens team. Well, I do know how. He gets hurt again. But if he's healthy, he looks quick and elusive and dangerous, and he looks like 2023 Keaton Mitchell again. So we can be very excited about that. I saw a couple of good pass blocking reps from Carson Vinson. I thought he held up very well on a pass block, and I didn't see who it was against, as Cooper Rush had 3+ seconds to throw a pass to Zaire Mitchell-Payton. That was about a 10-yard pass. What else do we see in this game? In this, okay, some half speed drills occurred that I'm not going to talk about too much, but there was a false start in one of those. There was a half speed ball that Lamar had to ground because Marlon Humphrey was in the right spot on the field. He was underneath Isaiah Likely, kind of forced a grounding from ball by Lamar. It's a good defensive play. It's hard to play defense at full speed the way that practices, you know, discourage contact. But when he's able to actually impact the throw, that's a positive thing. And by the way, they're scoring the practice today between the offense and defense. So the defense won. I didn't see the final margin of victory, but they were up by about 8 points with you know, just a couple of plays left. So, you know, order of magnitude, it might have been about 40 to 32, somewhere in that range. So a good day for the defense again. The defense has looked in a lot of ways ahead of the offense. And I'm not sure how much the false starts played into that, but it's kind of neat that they're scoring practice again. One thing they have not done is go back to laps for false starts. So I can't tell you who had the false starts today. A lot of times we're away from the ball. You don't have the benefit, as I have during the season, of instant replay and looking at play 10 times if I want to tell you how it happened or who scored well on an offensive line block. I have to see it on the first time or it's erased permanently. So that was something that was kind of useful to the reporters last year to make sure they knew who had the penalty was to see the laps being run. We had a beautiful play from Lamar to Mark Andrews, about 25 yards between the seam and the right hash. He beat Roquan over the top. The safety, I did not see again where he starts. Again, not the benefit of instant replay, but beautiful catch by Andrews over the top of the defense. It looked like he made a big gain after the catch as well. Saw a really nice crossing route from 8 to Tez Walker. He was crossing. He beat Simpson 20 yards between the numbers and the right hash. And every type of route where he can be successful that is non-vertical is a very positive thing. But Tez Walker's having a big camp so far. He's done a lot of things well. And that, even though you're beating Simpson, beating a linebacker, which is less impressive than beating, say, Wiggins in that spot, that's still a nice play there. And as I mentioned, Simpson had some problems. That's not the last of them. We had Jackson escape a blitz by Humphrey, roll out of it, and then just to the left, and then throw a pass -5 yards behind the line of scrimmage to Henry that Henry apparently took for a TD. Now, some things are going on that I mentioned this in previous shows, but I don't think there's a lot of defenders who want to get in front of Derrick Henry and take some of the injury risk that would entail in the preseason. And they're not.
You ever have one of those days where everything's off? Well, Mood can help with that. And let me tell you about Mood. It's the online cannabis brand that is changing the way we handle everything from stress to sleepless nights with functional gummies that are 100% federally legal cannabis. Mood launched to make cannabis affordable, accessible, and transparent, while at the same time supporting American farmers growing premium hemp on small pesticide-free farms. Their gummies are next level. Seriously, I've tried a few and each one feels totally different. The Sleepy Time gummies, out like a light, immediately asleep. The Epic Euphoria, it's perfect when you just need a reset to feel good again. What makes them unique? Mood combines THC with herbs and adaptogens, so you get real targeted effects. You're not going to find this in your typical dispensary. And here's the best part. Mood ships discreetly to most states, offers a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, and right now you get 20% off your first order with the promo code RAVEN. Just head to mood.com. Find your perfect gummy and use the code RAVENS at checkout to save 20%.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Not even really looking to touch him up. I think it's almost considered okay to let him run. I think the Ravens coaches are probably okay with that because they probably don't want to get Derrick Henry in any kind of situations where he might get hurt. But it certainly looked like -5 plus 75 for a touchdown. The fans acted like it was. They went crazy, of course, on a play like that. But that was nice. What else we got to go on here? Number of plays were well blocked by the offensive line, but one guy who showed up a couple times was Broderick Washington, getting some initial pressure. On one play, Jackson threw a ball that was dropped by Anthony Miller. I believe he threw away a second play. I'm not looking at it right now, so I don't have it there. Kyle Hamilton had another pressure that did it potentially involve Washington as well. It was a complex pressure, but he threw behind Flowers on that play. So a couple different pressure plays. He didn't get a completion there. Really nice pass block from Derrick Henry on a play that I wanted to talk about a little bit. We had a combined sack. The play was actually blown dead for what I believe was Mike Green and Aeneas Peebles. So both of the rookie pass rushers getting in on it. That was Cooper Rush at quarterback on that play. So that was always, as always, good to see. Really nice long catch by number 86, Jamal Banks. But he was immediately flagged for offensive pass interference. And the ball was thrown by Leary, by the way. I did not see who the defender was on that play, or at least I didn't record it here, so I don't have it. We then saw Chandler Martin again at the center of the action. And that time he was called for a flag. I believe it might have been a defensive hold or a pass interference, probably pass interference because it appeared the ball was in the air on tight end Sam Pitts. So that was about the only negative on Chandler Martin's side of the ledger in the entire practice. A few more things on 7-on-7 drills. This is where Hummel made his first appearance that I noted. We saw Jackson throw another beautiful ball to Mark Andrews, 20 yards between the hashes. He beat Simpson again on a vertical route. And again, like Simpson is kind of had a tough day today is how I'd put it. Nice quick tackle by Malachi Starks on a quick out to Charlie Kohler. Not a lot to be said for that in a 7-on-7 play. The defenders often have to hold off their close on such plays because they kind of know where the ball's going. And in this case is one where he appeared to get there quickly and be in position to make the tackle. We had a nice play from DeAndre Hopkins, who beat Bo Breed 15 yards down the middle of the field, and Jackson threw him that ball for a nice gain on the play. I don't remember seeing how much he got after the catch, but there might have been some yardage after the catch from Hopkins on that play as well. We saw a drop from Sam Pitts about 10 yards between the numbers and the right hash. That was from Rush. So I got a note in the book to see that Ruben Lowry is playing at safety there today. And again, I believe we're okay talking about that. One thing I don't want to do is break the Ravens rules for talking about where players are playing. But at the last session, we had the coordinators talk to us, and Zach Orr talked about Ruben Lowry playing at safety. So I think it is okay now to talk about it. And it would seem to me they are attempting to fill that hole with some combination of 2 of 3 and possibly 3 of 3 of Kane, Braid, and Lowry. So all three of them are players I'm going to be watching very closely in the first preseason game and in the joint practices. Okay, we had 28, and that is Marquise Robinson. Now, he's known for being one of the fastest times recorded during OTAs. I haven't seen him during camp. Nobody, one of the players would have to send that picture out, which they're probably told not to do. But Marquise Robinson had a pass defense versus Cunningham. It was about 5 yards by the left sideline. Often a tough place to make a play on the ball out there in the flat, but he did, and it was on a Cooper Rush pass. Let's see. Very late pass was thrown by Lamar. Lamar had a couple of these, by the way, and one which was, you know, maybe after four and a half seconds of 7-on-7 action. And then he had another one, which was about 8 to 10 seconds, I would say, where he threw a deep ball. But this one was the maybe between 3 and 4.5 seconds, we'll call it. He threw late to 89, who again beat Simpson 10 yards between the numbers and left hash. So not the kind of day that Simpson would like to have. Yes, the next one was the 8 to 10 second play, the sack that went for a touchdown, using air quotes, to Zay Flowers, who was way behind the defense. He should be on another field by the time an 8 to 10 second time runs out. One guy who's looked great in this camp is Isaiah Likely. Lamar Jackson threw him a pass. It was 10 yards between the numbers and left hash. And he caught the ball, held on through some significant contact from Humphrey, and was able to make a couple of yards after the catch as well. But primarily, he's been extremely good at catching anything anywhere near his body, one-handed if necessary, two-handed. He's had very good hands that he hasn't dropped the ball, and he hasn't been losing the ball either by pry out or contact after the catch is made. So far, Likely looks extremely good, and if they can get him signed, I think it's going to be a big move for the Ravens. Okay, we had a ball that Lamar threw to Tez Walker. It was 15 yards between the numbers. Now, what's good about this, a couple things were good about it. First of all, TJ Tampa was trailing in coverage. He was trailing by enough that Walker was open, but after the catch was made, Tampa made an attempt to punch the ball out and was unsuccessful. So good to see Walker be able to hold onto the football as well. We saw Hummel make a quick tackle on Rasheen Ali on a little dump, check down pass from Leary. Just nice to see him get in the action, is all I'd say. They ran a bunch of other drills. They're kind of specialist drills. After the 7-on-7 section, they ran a fumble drill for the linemen, a tip drill for the secondary. So one guy tips, another guy collects it. They're trying to run through tackles with donuts and coaches with pads with the receivers. And they had a special drill to be blocked and then still elevate for a pass defense at the line of scrimmage that the linemen were participating in. So some interesting stuff going on. I think if I were to draw anything from this, these are very standard drills. There's nothing secret about these drills by any stretch. But what's nice about it is that the Ravens clearly seem to be emphasizing turnovers. So a positive there. A little more 11-on-11 came. There's one play was a kind of in dispute, but Jackson threw a ball to Kohler in a red zone drill. He made a very nice touchdown in the end zone, 20 yards, numbers in the left hash, but in the end zone. Roquan Smith was in coverage, immediately wanted the flag, was denied the flag, but apparently one of the officials indicated that he might have bobbled the football and perhaps dropped it. So I'm not sure if it was actually a touchdown catch or not, but there was no flag on the play. And Roquan was the coverage guy. We had some checkdowns. Then we had another play where, and I guess this is the one that I was talking about earlier, where Chandler Martin had a hard hit after a 5-yard pass play to Keaton Mitchell. Last thing we need in camp at this point is an injury to a player like Mitchell, who has a lot of upside. He then ran for a electric TD. Is a 15-yard touchdown run, but the ball was he actually reversed his field. So it was really impressive. He's done this now. I think it's the second time he's done this camp so far. It might have been Rasheen Ali the first time, but I believe it was Mitchell. And anyway, reversed his field all the way to the other side, 15-yard touchdown. But then they threw a flag on the play. I believe it was the backup fullback, Lucas Scott, who ended up getting flagged for holding. Lucas, if I'm wrong about that, was an offensive lineman. You can hit me up on Twitter and let me know I'm wrong, and I'll put out a correction on that. Did watch one very nice rep for Daniel Faalele, who blocked Travis Jones extremely well as Lamar tried to fit in a pass, but it was knocked down by Wiggins, who's had Wiggins has looked fantastic, by the way, in camp so far. The very next play, Hopkins did an incredible thing where he basically used his left hand. Let me get this right. He used his right hand to push off on Wiggins's head. In fact, he kind of pushed off and turned his mask back away from the play while he made a one-handed grab with his free hand in the back corner of the end zone. And just to describe this, he's basically turning his body so his front side is facing the sideline, and he's still able to both impact Wiggins on the play and then make the one-handed grab. Great athleticism, and he was flagged for it. So offensive pass interference on Hopkins was the call. We did have one more case where it appeared Walker was open. Lamar overthrew him 15 yards between the numbers in the right hash. It was in the end zone, coverage by Roquan Smith. Kind of unfortunate it didn't hit on that one, but Walker did what he was supposed to do on the play, it appeared to be. So that is, I think, going to do it for the regular notes from this. We did have various people at the podium. So John Harbaugh, Zay Flowers, and Greg Lewis. They each had some interesting things to say. John Harbaugh didn't have any other new news on the injuries. Talked about Jair's having swelling and should be back tomorrow, was the quote he used. And by the way, I always encourage you, if you're depending on me to transcribe and not paraphrase what players say, just look at the damn interview. It's out there. The Ravens publish them all the time, and they're well done. And you'll not only hear how they answered it word for word, you'll hear how the question was asked as well, which sometimes matters. He talked a little bit about the pads and the I believe it was Morgan asked him if there was an adjustment for the kickers putting on pads for the first time. And John said, yeah, I thought that was a good question. Didn't know. And with loops difficult day to day, maybe that was a part of the explanation for it. He said that they talked about those policing of hits. He said, you know, basically these are NFL players. They're professionals. They know what they're doing, but they have specific protocols. They're supposed to grab and release. They're supposed to generally keep their feet in these practices. So they don't want them, you know, obviously you don't want them losing your feet and making a hit, but a lot of times you don't want even a receiver going down for the football necessarily. We've had some sliding grabs, but you don't necessarily want that. But he said he didn't really feel the need in this case to pull the players apart. There are times when he'll say something, but that wasn't it. Anyway, listen to him if you want the rest of that. And he had some information on JAD and Kone that I gave you earlier. I think that's about all that I had from John. Did talk briefly about Mo Gabba, who apparently it's the fifth anniversary of his death. And he just talked about how enthusiastic Mo was and, you know, was happy to be reminded of the thing, of the anniversary. Zay Flowers then came to the podium. And there's one other thing John Harbaugh said, because I asked this question was, did they, with the first day in pads, did they want to make a concession to try and get more plays off, get more padded action, more action that requires players to be fully padded in order to take it? Did they want to go with easier cadence? And that was, he said no on that, that they really needed to stay with the cadence so they didn't compromise on that and not be able to do it when the time came during the season. Again, listen to him for his exact answer on that one. Zay was asked about his breakfast lifting with Bateman, Zay, and Marlon. He says he's been up at 5 a.m. pretty much the whole offseason to increase his speed. He's been doing some weight drills on hill wearing a weight dress. I'm not sure what that is, but, you know, obviously he's very secure to wear a dress and tell us about it. He talked about Lamar being in the 99 club, and he said he should have been there all 8 years. What else did he talk about? Talked about crossing routes a little bit. I asked him this question about, you know, can you tell him what makes him so effective doing crossing routes? And what I was trying to get at was Marquise Brown was a guy who really liked to run verticals more than just about anything. Vertical, vertical, vertical. That was what Marquise Brown wanted to run. He could run you a good post. He could run you a good go. He could run you a good skinny post or a corner. He could do them all, but he liked to go deep. Now, Zay, I'd say that his success has come more on the crossing. And he said, yeah, he thought he knew how to get separation well. And again, listen to him if you want to hear his actual answer. I think that the real thing that makes Zay devastating on crossing routes is that he just has to put his foot in the ground and go, as opposed to the hip syncing that other receivers have to do. They'll give away some of what their future movement is. But he didn't really get into that. He just talked about being able to create separation. He was asked immediately after that, do you want to take more deep shots this year? I said, oh, yeah, I want more deep shots. Asked about sharing targets. I'll ask you, there's a lot about that, by the way, with him and Lewis in terms of the need to be unselfish. And Wazay just said, you know, we got a lot of talented receivers here and guys who've been veterans, and we'll figure it out. So that was a good way to see it. He says he thinks he can run the whole route tree. They asked him some questions about leadership. He liked that. They asked him some questions about the defense. Specifically about Jair, specifically with regard to Jair, he said he doesn't know what he's going to do. He doesn't know if he's going to jab or how exactly he might cover, flip his hips or whatever. It's almost like, you know, it makes it very difficult for a wide receiver with a cornerback opposite him is tricksy to actually throw a move on that player and then read the timing of when that move has been bitten upon. So I think there's a lot of respect on the wide receiver core for Jair Alexander and what he's been able to accomplish. I probably got the most personally from Greg Lewis's time at the podium. He had some great stuff. I asked about run blocking and unselfishness on targets, and he said two things. He said, you're not going to be a part of what we're trying to do if you don't want to run block. So, you know, there are some players who play in other organizations. It just doesn't seem to be their thing. I did refer to what happened last year in terms of the unselfishness for targets. I also think this goes with the run blocking, but obviously Deontay Johnson, did not meet that standard. He didn't say that, but listen to what he has to say. And he thinks he mentioned, in particular, the culture of accountability that the Ravens had, and it lends itself to unselfish footballs. I think the organization from the top down, whether it's Eric or whether it's John, both are trying to win football games. They're not trying to pad stats, and that leads to a better chance probably to win games. You also may occasionally, and he didn't say this, but you may occasionally get a receiver who's unhappy in those circumstances. Had really positive things to say about Tez Walker. He says he needs to continue what he's doing, but he's doing well and building on last year, and he needs to play special teams. And that's, of course, a common thing for all the players. I asked on Saturday, I asked Horton if he roots for his players to play well on defense, say, like an Adisa Isaac. Does it help you if he's a great pass rusher because then he'll be on special teams? And he said, well, not really. Special teams comes first. And, you know, what was nice about Greg Lewis is he kind of echoed that sentiment. He said, you know, a player like Walker, the implication seemed to be that he'd have to play special teams first. They're happy with what he's doing as a receiver, but he may get, you know, obviously less opportunities there. Lots of talk about unselfishness that I don't think needs to go into the discussion any deeper. Zay, he talked about him. He's a matchup problem anywhere he is on the field. The question had to do with Zay playing more in the slot this year, so he didn't have anything more to add to that. But he did say that the more places a player like Zay can play, the more valuable it can be because he's a matchup problem anywhere. But in order to be that matchup problem, he needs to be functional in that different position on the field. So that he did get to. What else we got? He mentioned some metrics. A guy named Sam, who I don't know. I don't know what Sam's last name is. Apparently provides them with a lot of metrics on speed and whatnot. And he tries to break that down in layman's terms that they can then go to the player with. And he said, I don't want to put players down anyway because I used to be one. But, you know, we're not math guys. That's what he said. So they really want the analytics people to break down information they're giving them into a useful way that they can relate to the players. And says he grades every block and catch. And in terms of Zay's leadership, he's been more vocal, asked more questions. and he'll talk to young players in the meetings sometimes or even on the field. All things you'd expect of a leader. And Zay, now entering his third year, obviously will be a Raven for three more years, assuming the Ravens give him his fifth year option, which they will, at a minimum. And so he's a very key piece. The Ravens have their two primary wide receivers now in under contract for three more years, if we include that Zay option. Anyway, that's going to do it for today. Thanks again for listening, folks. Camp notes come every day. Please take a listen back at this morning's episode, which was on One Score Wins. And I think it puts the kibosh on a lot of the Warren Sharp BS from a few days ago. Yes, the Ravens have had not a great record in one score games, but some of that is because they have an unbelievably great record in two plus score games. And one of the points I just want to make from that is that there are a lot of games which get moved from one score game to two score game at some point because the Ravens are able to put away a football game. And expertise at doing that is something the Ravens have demonstrated, and the Steelers, despite their great record in one score games, have not demonstrated with their 17-21 record in two score games. They've not been a team that easily puts away a game by moving it from one score game to a two score game, whereas the Ravens are 43-7, winning 86% of their two score games. The Steelers are under 500. So I think that's an interesting episode. I appreciate all the research that Brandon Croxton did on. I think it's worth a listen. Otherwise, if you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. These camp notes will be here every day and you don't want to miss any of them. And I would not want to miss you, have you miss them either. Thanks again to our sponsors, and we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.